Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this very beautiful, lovely day that the Lord has provided for us. The only announcements I have is that session is meeting next Wednesday, November 5th, for people on session. I'll send out the information about that. And the nominating committee members who are here, we're going to meet after the service in the church today. And we're very thrilled to have Tom doing our service today. Are there any other announcements from anyone else? With that, we turn over to Tom. Thank you very much.
Children of the Most High God, precious in the sight of the Lord, we gather together to worship our God this day. On this beautiful Lord's Day, Reformation Sunday. Maybe you are aware that there is such a thing. Preachers who wear stoles get to wear red today because red is the color of celebration. May we celebrate our faith. May we celebrate our gifts from God this day. May we join together now as we call one another to worship. God moves with us throughout this earth and nurtures the soil.
Our neighbors are all in God's works.
God's river flows with water, and the fields are blessed by the Spirit.
Our neighbors are all in God's gifts.
God's wilderness fields overflow with joy.
Our neighbors are all.
And one voice with a full heart, we rise if able. In body or in spirit, we join together in song. Together, as God's church, we corporately confess our sins together. God of the mountains and canyons, the range of emotions that wash through us are often triggers for the way we hold ourselves. At times we seek humility, but often find ourselves believing we do not deserve your love. Other times, as we search for confidence, we believe we are your favorites and find ourselves in moments of comparison, contrast, and judgment. Are we better than our neighbors? How can we relate to siblings in Christ when they're not like ours, and they stand out when visiting our spaces. We are misguided as we give thanks that our lives are not as chaotic and unkempt as theirs. Yet you succeed and know that each of your children are loved deeply. Help us to extend mercy
to our neighbors
and fill their minds with words of encouragement. May each of us know our value in your realm and experience your love in its fullness. And now, in a moment of silence, we bring our own words, our private confessions. And so hear this good news. God fully shares and offers mercy and grace, no matter where we sit, no matter what our place or power in the world might be. May your light and kindness, God, seep from our souls so that our neighbors will understand your grace, even when the harsh winds surround us all. No matter how chaotic our lives may be, may we each and all know the steadfast love and forgiveness of our God. Amen. On this Reformation Sunday, let us joyfully affirm our faith as together we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now send your blessing to those around you. Before the choir sings, I just need to say that when we used to go to Texas for the winter, we would attend a church that at the end of the service, every Sunday, every season, we would sing these words. What does the Lord require of you? And we would sing it in the round, the choir and the congregation. To seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. It's number 70 in the bulletin, or in the hymnal, if you want to follow it. May our hearts be open as we hear these wonderful words. Isn't that a lovely tune on wonderful words? What does the Lord require of you? To seek justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. Thank you for sharing that. I was back in Texas for just a moment. Barb, I hope you don't mind if I just let folks know your story here. We haven't seen her in a couple of weeks, and I thought she was playing hooky, but no, that wasn't it at all. One night, she got up to use the bathroom around 4 o'clock in the morning. She decided to slip on some water that had dripped from a curtain, a shower curtain, and she broke 5 ribs and went back to bed in pain. And for 4 days, she thought, maybe I should call the doctor. Call the doctor. Okay, call the doctor. And so she ends up in the trauma center in the hospital, and she's alive today. And we're glad for that. And so be careful. Be careful. It's so easy to fall. And so may your prayers be for and with Barb today and in the days ahead. That's the only special prayer request that I have to share with you this morning. There'll be a moment of silence during this prayer, and I trust you'll pray for someone listed in the bulletin, for Barb, for those that you love and hold in your hearts this day. Let's pray. Oh God, it is by your speech, your holy word, that all we know and see has come into existence. Our beautiful world, our lives, our loved ones, everything that we have and hold dear, gifts from your holy word. By your holy word, you sent forth your Son Jesus to bring us salvation through a cross, death, and resurrection. We give you thanks. By your holy word, you have called us together to be a church, congregation of love and service in the world. By your holy word, we know that we live in grace and hope. Keep us ever close to your word, that it might be written upon our hearts. We commit our lives to you once again on this Lord's Day. Center us in the knowledge of your holy scripture. Center us in the mission of your church. Love kindness, mercy, as we walk humbly with you. Center us in lives of thankful giving and loving for all the blessings, for every good and perfect gift you bestow upon us in your word. We remember now those that we love and who need prayer. We remember our world with all of its needs and pain. In this silence, we pray for the world and for each other. And now by your word, O Lord, guide our lives, every step. Inspire our thoughts. Shape our attitudes. Lighten our darkness. And give us eternal hope. And fill our hearts with joy assuring us of your constant presence until you bring us at last into the glory of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray, and we remember to pray as he instructed, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If able, stand, and if not, stand in spirit, as once again we join in song verses 1 through 4 of our hymn. Let us stand and sing. Please be seated, and let us worship God as we bring our gifts.
we praise you with our gifts. We praise you with our voices and hymns. We praise you with every breath of our lives for your grace and love among us and sent through us with these gifts.
We're going to hear a very short parable read this morning. Jesus, in Luke's gospel, has two parables back to back. Both of them have to do with prayer. I don't know if you remember last week's sermon or not, but there was this woman, and she was a widow, and she wanted justice from a judge, and he wouldn't give her justice. So she pestered him, the persistent widow, she pestered him. And every time he came to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, there that she was, that little woman, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice. And then at noon he went out for lunch and a cup of cocktails with his friend, and there she was again, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice. And then at 5 o'clock he got off work, and there she was at the door, give me justice, do you hear what I say? Give me justice. He thought she was going to beat him up, this little 5-foot woman waiting for him down. And finally, because she was so persistent, wouldn't leave him alone, kept pestering him. Finally, she got justice. And Jesus said, pray like that. Pray like that. I can imagine that the disciples were, and people listening to that were probably falling over with laughter at the idea of this little woman beating up this great big man, making him so afraid. Finally, he gave in. That was last week's sermon. And now this week, another parable. Another parable about how we should pray. Here, listen. Listen for the word of God.
This morning's reading is Luke 18, 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. But he was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is a reading.
Thank you. All who exalt themselves will be humbled. But all who humble themselves will be exalted. Let us pray. Oh God, may your Holy Spirit that has spoken through the gospel writer find its way into our hearing and our believing and our praying and our preaching this day. Amen. In the early days of the church, people gathered themselves. They didn't have buildings, but they gathered themselves for worship and to take care of the needs of each other and to minister to the needs in the world around them. If anybody went to prison, they would be there bringing food and support. If anybody had a need of any kind, they would come and gather around them, and they would place their hands upon them and anoint them with oil and pray with them and help them in any way they could. They were an amazing church. Some years later, not exactly in the New Testament time, but some years later, still in the Roman world, on a couple of different occasions, a plague, a terrible plague, broke out and devastated entire populations in the cities. And the rich, if they were able, they would flee the cities to get away from the plague, the disease, the sickness. Others would flee if they were able. The only ones that would stay would be the ones who couldn't walk, or who were too sick to walk, or who were dying of the plague. But many of the Christians stayed to minister to the sick, not only among the fellowship, but anyone. The Romans, the believers, the non-believers, they were there to give help and support and prayer. They did not flee. They stayed. What an amazing, group. What an amazing church. A church to remember on this Reformation Sunday. They organized themselves in these things called parishes. And there's a connection linguistically. Parish and pariah. They did not fit into the world. They had found a different way to be human in this world, a different way to live in this world. And so they were strange. They were not trusted in many cases, especially because one of the things that they would not do, it was required that you offer an offering into the fire and that you acknowledge and bow to Caesar as king. That kept society together. Social chaos was avoided because everybody was united under this Caesar, and Caesar was in charge, and you would bow to Caesar and acknowledge. But not these Christians. That's the one thing they wouldn't do. They were very clear about that. They would not bow the knee to any human, or to any ideology, or to any other allegiance. They would only bow the knee to the one Lord, who was Lord of their lives. What an amazing group they were. And in this world, in this New Testament world, humility was not seen as anything to be sought. Humility was not the way the world worked. I can imagine that when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, when he got down on his knees and took the cloth and the basin and showed the disciples, this is how you live in the world now, that they were flabbergasted, that they couldn't make sense of that. Humility. The world doesn't work by humility. That world didn't, neither does ours. And so these Christians were out of sync. They didn't fit. They were a pariah in the world. It was also a world in which was organized by this thing called honor and shame. That's the way the world operated. It was an honor and shame culture. Honor is what we are obligated to protect. Not just my honor, not an individual honor, though that includes it, but you were a member of a clan, a family, a tribe, an association, and you were obligated to protect the honor of the family, clan, group, association that you were a part of. To be shameless would be to disregard one's honor, one's family. There are cultures today that are honor and shame cultures. And if my sister is raped, then I am obligated to kill my sister. An honor killing. Because the family name, the family honor has been compromised. An honor killing. And so in this world of honor and shame, the idea of being a self-promoter would be very much understood. The idea of being to holding oneself high and mighty. It's not just for me, it's for my family, my clan, my association. I am upholding the honor of the group, the family of which I am a part. I see honor and shame in the parable that we heard read today. It starts off and introduces us to someone who is called a Pharisee. He is a person of honor. Now we use the word, oh, that person acts like a Pharisee. We use it in a negative sense, but in the New Testament and to the people who first heard this story, a Pharisee was not anything less than honorable. It was the Pharisee and people like him who kept the faith of Israel alive. They were the people who kept the law, who taught others how to keep God's commands, who showed and demonstrated in their lives what it meant to live in God's faithfulness, in the covenant of God's grace and love. This was an honorable person. And so we meet the Pharisee. He goes into the temple to say his prayers. Now, we may feel very negative about how he begins his prayer, but he's an honorable person, you see. He begins his prayer by saying, God, thank you. Oh, it's a good start. God, thank you. Thank you that I am not like other people. Now, it's true. He wasn't in many cases, in many ways, like other people. And then he, out the corner of his eye, he sees someone else has come to pray that day as well. But this person is standing off way off. The other person, sometimes called a publican, sometimes called a tax collector, he's also over in the corner of the temple praying. And when the Pharisee begins to tell God what a great person he is, "I thank you that I'm not like other people, adulterers, rogues, thieves. I am not like them at all, and you know that." God needed to be reminded. He sees the Pharisee, he sees the tax collector in the corner of his eye. Tax collector is also there. And so he says, "I thank you that I am not like other people who do all of these bad things, or even and the disgust, the contempt you can almost touch, or like that tax collector." Contempt. "I'm not like other people." Contempt. You see, in the honor-shame society, someone has to be up in order for someone else to be down. And so the contempt is built in to the system. Contempt. Contempt. Contempt leads to bad things, as we know. Contempt has a second step, and if it's allowed to grow, it will become dehumanizing and demonizing the other who is shameless, below me, not as good. Different. "I thank you, God, that I am not like other people." He is so different. He is so different that he is not even human. He is less than human. Contempt leads to dehumanizing and demonizing. It has another step. Once we start going down that road, the dehumanizing and demonized person then becomes someone who makes tyrannical requests of me, someone who diminishes me. His mere existence in the world is a diminishment of who I am. So the contempt leads to dehumanizing, and the dehumanizing leads to victimizing. Now I'm a victim of his badness. And that leads to believing that they need to be removed. That they need to be removed from the world. Now, you can see this perfectly illustrated in Germany in the 1930s. Perfectly illustrated. The contempt led to dehumanizing, and then feeling as one is a victim, and then once one is a victim, one can take that life away. And not only is it okay to do so, it's a sacred act. Sacred murder. A good thing. All genocide and all of that genocidal stuff that goes on in the world, that's been going on in the world forever and ever, begins with believing, "God, I am not like other people." So this good Pharisee tells God what a great person he is. "I don't commit adultery. I'm not a rogue. I'm not a thief. His chest is getting so large. He's feeling so good. He's feeling great. In fact, he's feeling so good that he really doesn't need God anymore. He's getting along quite nicely by himself. He has figured it all out in his own strength and goodness. His life, his whole life, has become idolatrous. The worship of one's own goodness. The worship of one's own strength. The worship was of one's own ability to do it for themselves. What is God needed for anyway? Tax collector, the publican, he's praying too. His chest is not puffed up. His eyes are not raised to heaven. He's looking down and he's actually beating on his breast. And his prayer is a brief one, 7 words. Now he needs to confess. He's a rascal. He really is. He's employed by the Roman government. That would be like someone in this congregation being employed by Al-Qaeda, working for the people who flew airplanes into the Twin Towers several years ago. That's the kind of employer he has. No wonder he was despised. And not only that, in his daily activity going around getting the taxes from people, he was easily take more than they owed. How did they know how much they owed? He would give it a little bit extra on the tab. And that extra would go into his own pocket. He was stealing from the poor and stealing from the widows and stealing from the people who are on the very edge of life. Do you like him? No wonder the Pharisee looks over in the corner, disgust, contempt. And yet, the prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you notice in that prayer that there's no sense of setting himself up? He doesn't put anybody down. His prayer is completely avoided of all sense of self-righteousness, self-attainment, personal goodness, bragging, shameless prayer. And then Jesus looks around at those who listen to the parable and says, That one goes home justified before God because he trusted totally in grace, whereas the Pharisee trusted in himself. There's a verse in the book of Hebrews. It says that Jesus, when he went to the cross, set aside and despised the shame. All of the shame of the world. as well as all of the sins of the world, as well as your sins and mine, were nailed to the cross and have been taken away. And the good news is that we are now, as Apostle Paul wrote to one of his churches, our life is hidden with Christ in God. Wow, what good news that is. You don't have to prove anything. You know that? It's already been taken care of. The forgiveness, the shame. You don't have to prove your goodness. You don't have to prove your worth. You don't have to put anybody down so that you can feel up and better. It's all been taken care of. We are now free of all of that. Free of comparing our lives with anybody else, or comparing this life with anybody else. That's all been taken care of. We are now free in the fierce love of God in which we have all been made children. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for your good news. Thank you for calling us to honest prayer. Thank you for knowing that it's nothing that we've done or didn't do or shall ever do that shall condemn us. Because Jesus Christ has paid the price and we are free. Help us to live as your free children. In Christ's name, amen. We join together in our closing hymn as we rise together and sing.